You better come on in my kitchen. There's hard to be raining out door.
Come over here, kid. Lay some. You never know, you might have to cook for 20 guys someday. You see, you start out with a little bit of oil. You fry some garlic.
It's
and you throw in some tomatoes, tomato paste, you fry it, you make sure it doesn't stick. You got it to a boil, you shove in all your sausage and your meatballs. Huh? A little bit of wine. A little bit of sugar.
Delicious.
And that's my trick.
When the moon hits your eye like a bigger pizza pie, that's amore.
Enough. I'm so sick and tired of hearing you people talk about food, food, food. That's all anybody ever talks about is prosciutto, cheese, and fava beans. I'm drowning here.
Jesus Christ, take it easy.
We're not even engaged yet.
When you're married, you'll understand the importance of fresh produce.
I eat with gusto, damn your bet, my country tis of thee. I eat for social progress, I eat for victory.
Delicious.
Stay hungry, stay hungry, stay hungry.
You want some more?
And welcome to Mouthful. It's Michelle Anna Jordan. Thanks for tuning in. I think tonight's going to be a really interesting show. I'm always a little disoriented on the first day of daylight savings, but I'm not going to do my usual annual rant against it. If you listen to the show, you know how I feel. Hope you got to a farmer's market this weekend, and that tonight is the topic. You know, like anything that you discover, whether it is a restaurant, a new clothing store, anything. When you discover it, it sort of comes into existence at that moment. And then throughout the course of patronizing a business or anything, maybe you get little pieces here and there of history. I think history is really important. And I know for a long time, the Santa Rosa Original Farmers Market has been trying to figure out, when's their birthday? You know, when were they conceived? When were they born? And we're going to try to nail that down a little bit this evening. I want to say a couple of general things first before we hear from one of the founders. It took legislative action on the part of the state to allow farmers markets to exist. Before they'd existed, and this was all happening in the early 70s, I should add, when Chez Panisse was a huge force in transforming the way people first in the Bay Area were eating. You couldn't buy food. When Alice Waters first opened Chez Panisse, you couldn't call up, you know, a farm and get what she wanted. You had big industrial produce distributors, or you walked over to Safeway. And that's what things were like. And there were regulations against non-standard packaging. You know, fruit that you saw in the grocery store had to all be uniform. It had to, in the box, had to be a certain size with very little size variation, little color variation. And so one of the things that the state what the government had to do was allow for sales that were non-standard based on those principles. That was key to allowing farmers markets to exist. I did a lot of research on this topic when I was writing a book, California Home Cooking, in 1997, and also when I was working on a major article about the Ferry Plaza Farmers Market for San Francisco Focus magazine a year or two after that. And one of the big concerns of farmers at the time markets were proposed is they were really worried that they were going to exist as cheap alternatives to grocery stores. They were afraid that by allowing variation with the standardization of size, color, that sort of thing, it would degrade the price of produce, and nobody would make as much money. The exact opposite happened. Farmers markets typically are priced a little bit more, a little to a lot more than what you see in a national chain grocery store. And there's a reason for that. But the farmers' fears were misplaced. That didn't happen. It made what I believe happened with farmers' markets is it made everyone more aware of what it meant to be a farmer and of the quality of getting food that hasn't had to go through the supply chain of cold being harvested and then put in cold storage and being trucked a distance and then sitting in, you know, the back of a market and then being put out in the supermarket. So there was a much quicker relationship between that produce and the buyer has been willing to pay for that. Not a week goes by that in my work I'm not asked by somebody, it's like, hey, why is the produce at farmers market so expensive? So before we hear from one of the market's founders, I want to explain a little bit about that. And it's a concept called loss leader. It's common for supermarkets to sell produce at a loss. That's what loss leader means. You notice how you walk into a supermarket and there's the produce right there. That draws you in, you get a bargain, and then you go and you pay for a lot of other things in the market that have a profit, you know, have higher profit for the grocer. So loss leader is a long time tradition since we've had supermarkets in the United States. And that has created a false sense of the cost of produce. And I think it's created an economy that in the end is unsustainable because anyone who is farming in Sonoma County, in Marin County, in a variety, you know, huge number of places around the county, I mean, around the country, cannot make money when things are sold at that low price. And so we've had this artificial low value to produce that farmers markets are changing. And that's a really good thing. You now see in a reverse action, you see, especially locally owned farmers markets, but also places like Whole Foods, are able to charge a lot more for produce than they have, say, a couple of decades ago. And I think to a very large degree, we can credit farmers markets with creating that possibility. So farmers markets all over the state of California, the Santa Rosa Farmers Market was founded at some point in the early to mid-70s. One of the people, there was a committee, my understanding is it was a fairly big committee, and Bob Kennard Jr., who now is one of the principals of Green String Farm and Green String Institute, he was one of the founders. And the first market was held in the east parking lot of the Santa Rosa Vets building, where it is currently still held. And we're going to hear, Bob doesn't like to come into the studio. He stays home with his family on Sunday nights. And, you know, I can't argue with that. So earlier this week, Robin Pressman, our program director here at KRCB, did an interview with him. And we're going to hear from him now. And then when we come back after that interview, we're going to hear live in the studio from Cliff Silva of Monpaz Garden in Sebastopol. Hilda Swartz, who is currently the manager of the Sonoma Valley Farmers Market and the Oakmont Farmers Market, and who was a longtime manager of the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market. Renee Kiff, who is a vendor and was also the manager of the Healdsburg Farmers Market for a long time. And then Paula Downing, who is the current manager and has been for close to a decade of the Santa Rosa Farmers Market. So first we're going to hear from Bob Kennard, and then we're going to come back and talk to our guests in the studio.
There was a lady in Sebastopol. She was instrumental in petitioning the county to be allowed to start the concept of a farmers market at the Veterans Memorial Building parking lot in Santa Rosa. And people from Sonoma County and Yolo County and Santa Cruz got together, about 50 people, and petitioned the state agricultural department to allow farmers markets to actually become a legal entity. And Santa Rosa market was instrumental in getting it to be a 501c3, and the county loaned us, I think, $10,000 in the second year, of which we used to expand and establish the market and get some scales and equipment and stuff like that. And during the course of its first year, we generated $10,000, which was returned to the county, and they granted us another advance and the use of the parking lot, and developed the the market organization, Sonoma County Market Organization, into an umbrella organization, which would then cover and sponsor the startup costs of other markets, such as Petaluma. They wanted to start a market, and so we would the umbrella organization would loan small sums. If I remember correctly, it required $2,000 for Petaluma. We would loan them the small sums, and they would get their market together and pay the parent organization back.
So, Bob, let's go back to the beginning. What was the year that the market first started?
Oh, gee, now that you're getting to a place where that makes it very difficult. But I believe it was 78 or 79. One of the first markets in California.
Uh-huh. I think I've heard somebody from another market say that it was essentially illegal for farmers to come and sell.
It was. Farmers markets were illegal before where we were able to petition the state agricultural entity. So everything in California had to be fresh packed. There was only a standard pack. There was only one farmers market in the county that was grandfathered in, and it was on continues to be on Alameda in San Francisco.
So you guys all just got together and did it anyway, even though it wasn't legal?
Well, it started out with that one person from Sebastopol, and nobody really knew it was illegal or anything like that. It was a good idea, and so it got initiated, and then subsequently we found out that it was illegal, so a bunch of people got together and petitioned to make it become legal.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember what the market's original name was?
Sonoma County Farmers Market Association.
And what did you sell there?
Oh, God, all mixed vegetables that I produced. At the time, I had a 7-acre garden farm and would produce a wide range of different things. See, I started farming. I left the nursery industry in 76 and rented this property up here where I continue to be. And at first, there were no farmers markets, and you could not possibly get into one at Alameda, but in 76, 77, 78, I had to sell everything in at the produce terminal to brokers, and so it was like growing all zucchinis or all something, and then that was totally unsatisfactory and economically and socially, and finally, in I believe 79, the farmers market was initiated, and the first year it was only 3 months in the middle of the summer. And I petitioned the board to extend it. And I think by 80 or 81, it became a year-round market. And at first, of course, middle of the winter was very slow. But plants grow in this climate beautifully year-round, and people eat year-round. So it finally took off, and I sold at the farmer's market exclusively for 11 years. And I, at the same time, had a position at the junior college teaching people how to grow small lot foods like this for the farmers market, and the producers increased, and the customer base increased, and it became established.
How many vendors were there in those early years?
Oh, at the very first, just a few. You know, we started out with maybe a dozen at the most, and very small. You know, I went to the market myself in my 1969 Model 96 Saab. It would be packed, you know, but the trunk and the roof racks and the back seat and the passenger seat and the box sitting on my lap more often than not. And a gross sales might be $40 or $100. That was different money in those days, too. And we managed to, everybody managed to keep going, and it was a great inspired idea. And lots of producers wanted to have a marketplace, a place to share the fruits of their labors, and it continued to expand to a point. After 11 years, I left the farm, stopped selling at the farmer's market because, as an instructor at the junior college and as the manager of the farmer's market, the chairperson of the farmer's market for the last numbers of years, it was my job to see that we promoted the idea, and we never got very good press, and we didn't have money to to do conventional advertising. We could have raised stall fees, but everybody always wanted us to keep stall fees low and mm-hmm. not. It was a word of mouth, slow, organic, natural development process. And when I left, there would be as many as 50, 75 vendors.
How long did it take to get critical mass of an audience of people coming?
2 years. No, it took right off. Did very well, and I was there for 11 years, and then this a famous restaurant who got excellent press asked me to produce for them, and it's a different marketplace, so I couldn't do both, but I'm primarily interested in establishing the concept of local food and a natural process grown food, and so I moved from the farmer's market to a place where Sonoma County and its growers would get recognition and press, and believe that was very helpful, and I continue doing that.
So are you producing a large variety?
I produce several hundred different varieties of things. We have a nice selection of citrus and all of the various fruit trees, cherries, apples, pears. And we grow a lot of olive trees for olive oil. Peaches are in full bloom right now. Apricots are lovely. This year so far we have 40 varieties of tomatoes started and 40 varieties of peppers and eggplants and curly crest and salad greens, rocket, and spinach. And spinach is gorgeous right now. And oh, my God, just all of it.
Sounds like you really love what you're doing.
Oh, it's my job. I'm going to continue to be a teacher at my own institute, the Green String Institute, and I'm just getting ready to go off and give the kids a class and continue teaching people to become local producers of diversified, healthy foods.
So with the current challenges now that are going on with the market, do you have any thoughts about it or any wisdom to help get the market through?
I don't follow the market and its politics any longer. After I gave up, I just gave up and put my effort towards continuing education and trying to stir people up. You know, we have approximately 500,000 people here in the county, and if we could get good press, and it has gotten better and better, it's very positive upon positive motion. If we could get those 500,000 people interested in understanding the importance of local agriculture and food supply, its freshness, and its knowing where it came from, and et cetera, why they spent $2 a day, we'd have $1 million a day in gross cash flow. And so with that, would be $100,000. That would mean that that if we had $1 million a day, that would mean that we could have 10 farms for every day at $2 a day per person that lived in the county, and that would mean that we would have 3,650 such farms in the county, and we don't have 350, and I don't know how many we have, but a very small number comparatively. And my little home farm of about 25 acres, I can keep it. I have kept it together for 35 years with an annual cash flow of somewhere around $100,000. I don't get rich, but I've raised two beautiful children and have a fine life and a life of my own choice and produced millions of vegetable meals.
And that is Bob Kennard. You heard about the founding of the Santa Rosa Farmers Market. Some surprises. I know I've heard that it was founded anywhere from 1969 to 1980, so he places it somewhere in the late 70s, which sounds about right. And yes, Alemany Market in San Francisco had gone on for a long time before that. Okay, my guests, welcome. We have Cliff Silva. How long have you been at the Farmers Market, Cliff?
I think it's been about almost 22 years.
22 years. Great, and I'm a regular customer, and your farm there is on Mill Station Road, right near Occidental,
yeah,
in Sebastopol.
Right off of Occidental, Mill Station.
Uh-huh. And you've been known for your beautiful roses.
I've been on the property for 52 years.
Wow. And your wife, Joy.
Joy, yeah.
Does the, she's the actual farmer.
Yeah, she does all, she likes the dirt. She takes care of all the raisins, like tomato plants and so forth. And my specialty is raising potatoes, different varieties.
Yeah, and you do a great job. One of the things I really admire about Joy is she understands so beautifully planting by the moon, by the moon cycles. I just love that source of knowledge.
Yeah, she says the almanac's off, so she has the moon book, and she's proved to herself that it's more right on, and she don't plant any seed on the barren sign, and she will not bare root any plant unless it's the right moon sign. No bare root in the wrong sign. She can prove it. It's, if you do plant on the wrong sign, like she told one person that he was going to plant potatoes, and says, Bob, don't do that. Whoops, I should say name. Bob, don't do that. Anyhow, you know, he knew everything, so he planted them anyway. Then later on, she found out that she told him that they'd be all knobby if he planted them that next day, and he laughed and everything. So about 3 or 4 months later, his wife said they were all knobby. So
let me get everyone else introduced. Renee Kiff of Ridgeview Farms. You began selling at farmers markets before you started managing one, right?
That's right.
When did you start selling?
Our market began also, I think we share about the same year as mm-hmm. Santa Rosa. It's 1978, mm-hmm. 79. Mm-hmm. We're always a little confused which of those two we are also. I don't know what it is about us. We can't decide when we were born. But we also, as a family, moved to Healdsburg in 1978 onto our current farm. And we were not farmers, but we inherited 3 giant fig trees. And the figs were, of course, bearing, you know, in June. And then in September, I didn't realize we'd have 2 deluges of figs, 3 kinds. And I hadn't a clue what to do with them. I didn't even know how to eat them. And my sister-in-law, bless her heart, said, Renee, I think that Healdsburg started a farmer's market this very summer. So I loaded up the figs in the back of our station wagon. Talk about breaking all the rules. I didn't know anything about a cert. I don't think we had to have certs.
Certificates?
No. Our certificate from the Ag Department. I don't think there was such an animal. If there were, I didn't know about it. So I arrive unannounced, you know, unexpected, with figs. And I drive up not knowing what I am doing, except I know I want to get rid of the figs. And bless their hearts, this brand new little bunch of farmers and public relations people. Can I name them?
Sure.
They were Doug, Tom Peterson, Doug Stout, Karen Tovani, Paul and Yael Bernier, that are still selling, Granger Brown, and the whole family that are Tierra Vegetables. Mm-hmm. In that time, it was Mom and Dad, which mm-hmm. are Walt and Esther, the brother and sister, Wayne and Lee. And then the Finneran family, too, was in there, Dorothy and John, who became the managers a little bit later. They all opened up their arms and welcomed everybody that came, and anybody, including me, gave me a table and, you know, an umbrella. And there I was. It was just delightful.
That's great. When did you become manager?
The year 2000.
Oh.
No. Wait a minute. I'm wrong. I'm off by 10 years.
Okay.
1990.
Okay. That makes more sense to me.
Yeah. And I ended in 2004.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay. Great. Hilda, you were market manager for how many years? Santa Rosa market manager.
For 4 years.
4 years.
And then in 1985, when I started with Santa Rosa, mm-hmm. they started the market in Sonoma.
Oh,
and
okay.
the young lady that was the manager there had to quit in 2 years. She was ill, and she had cancer.
Oh.
And so a committee came and asked me if I would do the Sonoma Valley Farmers Market, mm-hmm. and I said I would love to. And they were only part of the year, and I got a whole $100 a month for my first year there.
And where was it held? Where was it held at that point?
In the parking lot where it is now.
Depot Park.
But I want to go back to Santa Rosa because there is a name that needs to be mentioned for Santa Rosa.
Okay.
And that's Paul Mancini. And I don't know if you recognize that name.
I do recognize the name.
He worked with the farmers market in San Francisco, and he had a lot of knowledge about running farmers markets. And he worked with Bob Kennard Jr.
Mm-hmm.
And he was the person who inspired everybody at the market. He was just a pure delight. And I don't think Santa Rosa Market should be mentioned without mentioning Paul Mancini, because he was a gem.
Did he have an official role at the market?
No, but we all recognized
him. He was the cheerleader?
He was a cheerleader, and he was connected with M. Wally's also.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
The old two guys would love to get together and talk about farming. And Paul would tell me after I came into the market, he said, "Oh, Hilda, just keep working hard. Keep working hard. It's got to be a good market because everybody needs to eat fresh vegetables and eat fresh fruit." And he says, "This is the place for it."
That's so great. Let's get Paula in on the conversation. Paula Downing, manager today of both the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market and the Sebastopol Farmers Market, which is now for the first time year-round. Welcome to Mouthful again.
Hi, Michelle.
Welcome back. When did you come to Santa Rosa?
To the Santa Rosa Market?
Yeah.
It was 10 years last November.
Okay. And what about Sebastopol?
Sebastopol, I started managing in 94. And before that, I came here from Oregon and got a job in an office and felt like I just had to do something. So I bought a greenhouse full of plants and I started selling plants in 92.
Oh, okay.
And I was really terrible at it. So when there was a split and a division and a falling apart of the Sebastopol Market, and when that happened, I mean, there were only about 10 vendors there at the time.
Right.
But I had a meeting at my house and we ended up reconstituting the market and hired Ricka Rasmussen. I don't know if people remember her.
Yeah, absolutely.
For a couple of years,
yes.
Ricka. And then she left, and so then I became a manager.
Okay, that's right. Now I remember. Yes, I remember when Ricka was manager in Sebastopol.
Yeah, yeah.
She moved away, right?
Yeah, she left. She moved away.
Yeah.
So that's how I got into it.
Okay, and then, so you were actually at Sebastopol before.
Way before, yeah, since 1994. And then, I don't know, 10 years ago, I can't remember who asked me if I'd come to manage Santa Rosa. There was
I think it was Vicki Kemp was managing at that
time. Santa Rosa. I mean, and Vicki Kemp was the manager before me.
Yeah, and then before Vicki, it was Linda Cornelius.
Yeah.
And Linda Cornelius, she used to come when Mouthful first started. Linda Cornelius would drive here. We were on Thursday at noon.
Uh-huh.
And she would come every Thursday with her farmer's market report.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and sadly, Linda passed away.
Yeah,
and they had her husband, she and her husband, they had the most wonderful bay tree. And
yeah.
I forget what else they grew. There were other, not a lot, but there were other things. But he used to call it his money tree.
Uh-huh.
And he would bring these beautiful branches of bay leaves.
Uh-huh.
And I thought she was a very good market manager.
Uh-huh.
She had a lot of enthusiasm and a lot of warmth.
Uh-huh.
And she was also pretty darned efficient.
Uh-huh.
Now,
right.
Was she the one who came in after?
No, there was one other person that came in after me, and I can't even remember the name of the person. But I know I was so happy when Linda took over, because Linda's the one who really saved that market, because it was starting to split, and it was just, Linda and her husband were just a wonderful couple.
Yeah, they really were.
And Bob worked with NASA and outer space, and he was a very interesting person. He was a brilliant man, and they were a wonderful couple.
Yeah, they really were, and they did a lot for the market. I just felt good to be there when they were there, as it did when you were there. When you were there, I think I shopped there a few times before you came, but it was really in that mid-'80s when I started making it a habit.
And when I was hired in 1985, we were interviewed by the Agricultural Commissioner's Office. That's who did the interviewing to pick the market manager.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's interesting.
And that's and then how I got asked to apply was that when I moved up here, I taught in L.A. for 20-some-odd years, and I taught home ec.
Mm-hmm.
But I was too old and too far on the pay scale, so nobody wanted to hire me to teach home ec. And so I started to do promotions. And I worked with Koslowski Farms.
Mm-hmm.
I worked with Parsley Patch. Do you remember that name?
I do.
They did spices. And
yeah,
I worked with Thanksgiving Coffee.
Uh-huh.
And I would go to the farmer's market and pick up the items that I was going to demonstrate.
Oh, okay.
And so I would put up a sign on my table that these items came from the farmer's market. Mm-hmm. And everybody at the market thought that was absolutely great. So they asked if I would apply to be the market manager. And so, but we had to go up to the old ag commissioner's office, which was there in the county complex. And and I can't remember the people that interviewed me now. There were six of us that were applying.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. And now, of course, the manager is hired by the board of directors of the market itself.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to take a little musical interlude here, but before we go to the song, I want to say that at some point, and I'm not sure which manager began this. In my memory, it's Paula, but maybe I'm wrong. The market started becoming more than just a place to go and get vegetables and run into your friends, and it became a place where you knew you would run into your friends and where you would shop for fresh vegetables and other fresh produce, fruits and such. But you would also hang out, and you might sometimes hang out and listen to music. And so when I was shopping at the Santa Rosa Market yesterday, this band, the Rose City Ramblers, were playing. I'd heard them before. I've always really, really enjoyed them. And I thought, you know, I need to support them just like I support all the produce vendors. And I bought their CD. And so we're going to hear a cut from them right now.
Like I remember you. You used to love me. I was your foo, foo, foo. I used to walk you home. I used to hold your hand. You used to use my umbrella every time it rained. You used to cry so much. It was a crying shame. You used to live over yonder by the railroad tracks. When it rained, you couldn't walk, so I tote you on my back. Now you're trying to tell me that it wasn't like that. Hello, Josephine, how do you do? Do you remember me, baby, like I remember you? You used to love me. I was your boo, boo, boo. Bye.
Rose City Ramblers. I bought that CD yesterday at the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market. Two things I want to talk about next. One pretty short and concise. And then the other is, I want to know, because partly a lot of people have asked this question, what is a market manager's responsibilities? And I think everyone here has had has some insight into that. But before we get to that, how did the Santa Rosa Market get its current name? I can't imagine that there was enough foresight when it was first formed to call it. Well, actually, Bob said it was the Sonoma County Farmers Market Association was the original name. So when did it become the original Certified Farmers Market? Anyone know that?
I know that when I was there, it was the Santa Rosa Farmers Market. Mm-hmm. And then it was after I left that they put in the original. I think that was with Linda.
Oh, with Linda, okay. Mm-hmm.
I think she put that in.
Do you remember anything about that, Cliff?
Yeah, I think Hilda's right. I think that's what it was. Because when Bob and Linda took over, my wife and I took, we were in with them for the years to straighten this thing all out.
Because there was another market that started up. And then I'm not sure if the downtown market, Wednesday Night Market, began at the same time during Linda's tenure. It seems to me that it did.
It started in 1990. And I was on the original committee for that. Mm-hmm. And it was a Thursday night market.
Right. Yeah. The Thursday night market.
It was like
market,
the San Luis Obispo market.
Right.
And nothing like it is now.
Right.
It was a market. It was a market. We had two spots for the actual farmers to be, mm-hmm. down by where Macy's is and then mm-hmm. up by where Aragoni's. So we had three really blocks that we could have farmers.
I used to shop there.
Yeah. And it was just, it was a farmer's market. Uh-huh. So
we could probably guess what, right around 90, 91, that original became the name.
I think so.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So now I just want to throw this open to all of you. Some people say, market manager doesn't do anything. They just sit there and take money. It's like, oh my gosh. I don't think that's the case. And I, just for myself, I listed everything I could think of that a market manager did. And it was a pretty long list. So let's hear from all of you.
Well, I would, if you look around at the market managers, I think, I might be wrong, but I think we are overwhelmingly female.
Yeah.
We are in this county.
I know Marin County, there's a guy as a manager.
Yeah, there certainly are. But I think there's a reason for that. And it is that you've got to be partly a mom.
I thought you might say that.
I really think so. It helps if you are partly a teacher. You've got to be there for whoever is there, whether they're a customer or a vendor. You've got to be there if they're in trouble. You've got to be there to calm them down if they're all frazzled. You've got to be there to pick them up if they're down. You've got to see them through that time. And one of the most frantic times is when the vendors arrive and they have to find out where they're located and they've got to set up and they've got a minimum amount of time to do it in.
Now, when you say where they're located, is that also something a market manager decides? But
yes.
Do you do the mapping? Managers
yes.
do the mapping of the market. It's not just like, I want this space and, you know.
And that's always fraught with potential grief.
Yes.
Let me throw in there that we have guidelines that we have to follow from the state.
Oh, really?
Because the certified farmers market, the certified growers have to be together.
Oh.
And then everything else is on the outside of the certified farmers market.
Uh-huh.
So go on, Renee.
No, go ahead.
But what she said about, we are a family, mm-hmm. and that's really, we take care of each other. And I think it's sometimes you always have some bad children, but it's mostly 99% are good children. Let's put it that way. But I think that we also have to follow all the guidelines that come from the state, from the county. We're under the health department,
mm-hmm.
and we have to make sure that all of the guidelines that are handed down to us are carried out within the market. And that is one of the biggest jobs. The other big job is phone calls or emails, because if your name is down as a manager, we're the ones who get called about everything.
So you get customers,
vendors. And in fact, we even get calls from clear across the country. I get calls from New York. I get calls from Texas. They want to know about the market. When is it going to be? Can they come here? Can they bring a group in? What day would we be able to have them come? Could we give them a tour? I mean, there's a lot of background work that goes into doing a market. It's not just sitting there.
Mm-hmm.
But when we are there, we have to make sure that everybody is following the rules that are set down for us by the county, the state, and that people are abiding by those rules.
Mm-hmm. Paula, I want to bring you in at this point because one of the things that I've watched you do, including very recently, conversation I overheard on Wednesday, was fascinating. And it was you were filling a prescription for vegetables.
Oh, yeah.
But it seems to me that one of the things you do, I see you with a lot of different zipper money bags, and I see you managing all of these different programs.
Right, yeah.
So do you want to talk a little bit about that aspect?
Yeah, the whole community outreach piece has become really important. I mean, if you're obsessed with people eating good food, then you spend your time thinking about how you get it to them, how you get them to you. And one of the things that happened 2 years ago in August was that we started accepting CalFresh, mm-hmm. Which is the food stamps it was called, but now it's called CalFresh. And so that's a whole outreach thing because people who had never been to the market before, perhaps, or mostly, we're now starting to use it, and so we had to outreach to them. Mm-hmm. And then as part of that, I got into a relationship with several physicians from the Vista Medical Clinic, and they connected with Michael Dimmick from Slow Food and Roots of Change, who introduced them to, there was one program called Veggie Prescription Program, which is going on in Boston. And so they jumped on that bandwagon and they got a grant from a Wholesome Wave is the national organization, mm-hmm. to do veggie prescriptions. So they have now a study group of 100 women who are in danger of becoming diabetic and who are pregnant and who come to the clinic. And so they're, instead of giving them drugs, they're giving them vegetables.
That's the part I find so remarkable.
Isn't
they're
that
not
fabulous?
Saying
yeah.
They're not saying take your drugs and by the way eat these vegetables. They're doing it instead.
Yeah.
I think that's just one of the most wonderful pieces
totally
of news
inspiring.
I've heard. Yeah,
yeah,
it is
totally inspiring. It, you know, makes your heart stop. It's so inspiring because people come and they're nervous and scared, and then they get comfortable, and now they own the market, and now they're showing other women how to shop the market, and so it's really very inspiring, beautiful. It's very beautiful, and they don't have any study results yet because the program is just
so
you know
new.
It's only been going on for a few months,
uh-huh.
but the. Just the opportunity for women to, because everyone has this in their roots somewhere, you know, mm-hmm. that you shop local, that you eat real food, you don't eat, you know, stuff out of packages. People have that in their roots. So you can see these women connecting with their roots of how mm-hmm. to cook real food. And
yeah.
they're very excited and really grateful.
Yeah.
So if nothing else happens, that happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So in addition to everything everyone else has talked about, you are running, you know, CalFresh program. And I know that it took a lot of effort and several people in the community to make the CalFresh program happen. Then this other program, you do Senior Bucks on Wednesdays. Is
we
that
do.
Right?
We do.
And that means seniors get $1 or $2?
They get, in Sebastopol, they get $2 on Sunday, and Santa Rosa, they get $1 on Wednesday.
Uh-huh.
We also had the WIC program that we run.
Oh, you I don't know how WIC interfaces with the market. Tell me about that.
Women
I know the program.
Yeah, and then there's also a senior program, and they have coupons that they can bring to the market and use at the market.
And where do they get those coupons?
In the spring, April.
But I mean, who do they get them from?
And it's from the state.
From the state.
State of California program. Yeah.
Oh, okay, great.
Yeah.
So the state is actually doing some things. People to the
They're
market.
Trying.
That's
yeah.
really great.
Yeah.
Because I always am, and I got another question today. In fact, I posted a blog entry at Eat This Now, my blog at the Press Democrat, about tonight's show. And the one question I got was, why are prices so high at the farmer's market? So that is always happening. And there's this, there's, I think, a very false perception about that. One thing I want to talk about a little bit, I find interesting, is that at the Oakmont Farmers Market, you're in the parking lot of Wells Fargo Bank, and you don't pay rent.
That's right.
What about in Sonoma Valley? Is there much of a rent charge?
We're with Regional Parks.
And is there much of a...
It's not that much. It's minimal.
Minimal?
Yes.
Okay, and then I don't know if anyone knows. I should have asked Bob this. Do we know anything about what... Well, you would know, Hilda, when you were in Santa Rosa. What sort of rent was being charged?
I've been trying to think, because the county... We paid it through the county ag department.
Right. Okay.
And so I'm not quite sure what it was at that time.
Was it high, do you think?
No, it wasn't that high, because we could keep the... I think we were on the percentage at that time.
Oh, on a percentage, okay.
And I'm still on the percentage in Sonoma and on percentage at Oakmont, so that we can have the small grower, and they don't have to pay the high fee for...
you mean for their stalls?
Yeah, for their stalls.
Oh, for their stalls.
Mm-hmm.
And what about Healdsburg?
And Healdsburg is the same as Sonoma. We're on a percentage so that the small grower can still come. And I'm not in the loop anymore.
Right.
Mary Kelly is the new market manager that took over in 2004. But we're still in the same parking lot. And I believe it's just a one year. It was $100 a year for us when I was market manager. I don't think it's that much more to the city. Mm. And they've always been exceedingly supportive. And I did want to say one more thing about a farmer's market, Michelle, because as our society gets more polarized and we become more comfortable in our own skin with people of like politics or like religion, I find the farmer's market is one of the few places where everybody comes together without any plan in mind, and we have our ages all mixed. We have our ethnicities all mixed.
Yes, absolutely.
We have our politics all mixed, and sometimes you'll find really exciting conversations going on over the potatoes and the arugula, but that's fine, you know. And it's just so wonderful, because to me it's a little bit of what America should return to.
Yes, I so agree. Yes. Thank you for bringing that up. I've been writing now for 3 or 4 years about the fact that, for me, certainly, the farmer's market has become the commons, the contemporary commons. Mm-hmm. It's one of the reasons I'm so grateful that the Sebastopol market has gone year-round, because I live in Sebastopol and because I work at home. And I should say, I do have 4 columns a week in the Press Democrat, but I'm an independent contractor. I'm not on the staff. I don't see people at work. I commute down 2 hallways and I work in my jammies half the time, and I love what I do, but it can also be isolating. And I don't go hang out in coffee shops. I don't do my work in my coffee shop. I need a lot of isolation. But boy, do I look forward to going on Sundays and spending time with the vendors who become my friends because I know them, and the people I run into, and Cliff with his tomatoes and his potatoes and just everybody. So it's really become the commons. And I think that that's just such an extraordinary thing. But we've got one more person to talk to about rent. And I hope everyone has on their thick-soled shoes, because your feet can get hot on this issue right now. But rent for the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market has gone up over the years, and it's no longer paid to the ag. Was it not Ag Commission?
The Ag Commissioner's office.
Yes, no longer paid to the Ag Commissioner's office. Is it paid to the Veterans Building or to the County of Sonoma, Paula?
I honestly don't know if the County of Sonoma gets it, but I think we write the check to County Parks.
Oh, to County Parks. Okay.
Yeah.
So Parks and Recreation, it comes under Parks and Recreation.
Right.
That's interesting. They moved it from agriculture to Parks and Recreation. Do we know when that happened?
I don't know when that happened, but it's too bad that happened.
Yeah. So,
because it's a different value system.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And rent is fairly high now, right?
In Santa Rosa, it just went up to $56,700 for the year.
$56,700
a year. It was $4,000 up until 3 years ago. And then it went to $32,000, and we asked for a consideration, and so they dropped it to a three-year change from 10 to 12 to 20,000.
And that's a lot of salad mix.
Yeah.
That is.
It's a lot of salad mix, yeah. And it goes to the whole thing about, you know, farmers, small farmers charging a lot. And there's actually a government statistic that I just read a couple weeks ago that three-fifths of small family farmers, they take home less than $10,000 a year on the farm.
Yeah,
most of them, somebody in the family works outside of the farm. And you think, I mean, they do this as an act of love, and you want to make a little money on it. But, you know, that those are the people who are affected by a lot of those kind of people. I mean, some people make more. Uh-huh. But as a general rule, it's not a big money-making way of earning your living.
You know, it really reminds me of writing.
Mm-hmm.
Because,
right.
you know, the majority of people who are published writers, unless they have a staff job,
right.
the majority of people make a small amount from, say, writing one book. You don't make much money these days unless, you
right.
know, you knock it out of the ballpark, which is
right.
not that common.
You know, very few people
very
do that.
Very few people
yeah.
do that.
Yeah.
And so people write because they have this love of writing, and then they have their job either doing, maybe doing publicity, maybe writing technical manuals,
right.
or doing something entirely unrelated to
right.
writing.
Right.
And there's a big discussion. I mean, this is a different topic. There's a big discussion about that these days that's
uh-huh.
rather...
Right.
You know, frightening.
Right. Yeah.
But it sounds very similar
yeah.
to what farmers do.
I think so.
I find out all the time about, oh, that farmer, the one who grows those incredible Padron chilies and is now making chipotle powder, has a full-time day job.
Uh-huh. Right.
And
right.
so it's,
yeah.
it's
just, yeah. So I'll tell you, Sebastopol is $10 a week.
What do you mean?
$10 a week.
Yeah. Rent,
yeah. So the $57,000 is a lot of money, in my opinion.
Well, one thing I want to know is, what does the market get for 50? Other than you get the space, you get the East parking lot.
Well, yeah, the parking lot.
What does that money go for?
I don't know what they do with the money. We use the bathrooms.
Yeah, but they don't provide they don't provide tables, do they?
They do provide the tables okay. and chairs.
Oh, they do. Okay,
yeah, that's and the garbage. So that
okay.
Those are real costs, especially okay. the garbage that uh-huh. get covered by our rent.
I've pictured you for a long time loading in like 50 chairs and I mean 50 tables
no.
into your truck or something.
No, we get those.
Okay,
it.
So yeah. they do provide some equipment,
right?
The space, access to the bathrooms,
right.
Garbage
yeah.
collection.
Yeah, and we rent the kitchen for an hour in the morning so that people can go in and get hot water or whatever.
Oh.
So part of the rent is the rent for the kitchen for an uh-huh. hour, which I think is $75 an hour right now.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That's 56.
Maybe you could throw out the tables for $50,000 because Healdsburg, we just come like a circus. You know, we bring everything we need, everything.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, each person can bring a couple of tables.
Lot, yeah, set up, and then we disappear, leaving nothing but maybe a few papers or wrappers,
uh-huh.
and maybe that's what you need to do.
Yeah. And that's what we do in Sonoma also, and in Oakmont also, because uh-huh. we don't use any of the facilities.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But I would like to share something from Sonoma, because mm-hmm. we had to come up with a mission statement, and I think this mission statement is something that is good for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
And is that the mission of a certified farmers market is to provide a venue for certified farmers to market diverse, high-quality agriculture products to the local community.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that is really our mm-hmm. our mission as farmers mm-hmm. markets. And that's something that I think that the public needs to be aware of, that we are there to provide something that's cozy, something that's friendly, a place for them to come and have that communication with their neighbors, and a place to get something that is really good and fresh mm-hmm. to eat.
We don't have much time left, and I realize we should do another hour of this. I have so many questions for you. But very quickly, it's another question that I get asked, and I think I know my answer, but I want to hear it from you. Why non-produce vendors? Why crafts, massage, massage therapists, people who knit? But why things that are not related to produce? Why are they at farmers markets?
I can add there, because there are a lot of small craftspeople, and they have to make what they bring in. And in the wintertime, we are short of growers.
Yes.
So it adds diversification.
And does it keep the market going during the light produce season?
It definitely
season?
Helps pay the bills.
It really helps keep the whole market going. Uh-huh. Yeah. And that's why they were added in.
Okay.
And it's a little controversial. There are people who, there's a few purist markets in the state that only have food. Mm-hmm. But in general, I think, although there are some people who think it's not a good idea, people like the diversity. Mm-hmm. They like sort of, it's an event to come to the market and enjoy mm-hmm. yourself. And you can get some yarn and get some vegetables and eat something. Mm-hmm. It's a respite from your real life. So all those things add to the respite. Yeah.
Do craft vendors and art vendors and that sort of thing, do they ever take priority over produce vendors who want to come
in?
No, never.
And you don't do crafts in Healdsburg?
Yeah, I'm kind of whispering in the microphone. We're a little bit different in Healdsburg, primarily because we are not a year-round market, and so our vendors match up with our produce season. And we have maybe 5 stalls for non-food vendors, but they have to be ag-related, like basketry or planter boxes.
Okay, yeah, birdhouses sometimes.
Birdhouses, yes. Because we don't do the year-round, so we don't have to rely on.
Right, you don't have to deal with the winter season.
But the market does have November set aside because the produce is going down, and yet we want to stay open for November. So we
there's
we
great stuff in November.
A craft market in November. It's an additional aisle.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Cliff, when are you going to be back at the market?
We're planning on, if the tomato plants are ready to go, we'll probably sell. We plan on the 1st of April, probably the 2nd, like we did last year.
Okay, and you sell, like, literally thousands of tomato plants, right?
No, last year, I think, we only sold a little over 6,000.
6,000.
And we
only.
And we raised 105 varieties, and there isn't a color that we don't raise.
And you have such beautiful roses. And fragrant
Michelle
roses.
Michelle likes my roses.
I
so
do.
I always manage to get her a bouquet.
Yes, I really, really love your roses. On that note, the hour flew by. There's so much more history. But one thing, just real quickly, if anyone has anything to say, markets have troubles because we're human. And
they're,
you know, you had your trouble and left. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you get more than one human together, and a lot of people just fight with themselves, too. you know, you get a few humans together, and there's really good times and there's really bad times. And I think for everybody involved in any market, I think that's an important thing to realize. There's ups
and
downs.
It's a real democracy in some ways.
And
it's
a
functioning democracy. And functioning democracies are a little messy, right?
Yeah.
And I would say 99% of the time it's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And that 1% sometimes can put a real thorn in, but it's just that, to me, it's a positive place to be is at a farmer's market. Mm-hmm. And I love being part of a farmer's market and my customers and my vendors.
And there's no such thing as a perfect market manager. You know, we come to cook really, really close to perfection with ours at Mary Kelly. She does a wonderful job.
She does a great job. And I think all three of you do a wonderful job.
And all the ladies next to me do a almost perfect job. But.
And on that note, we have to get out of here because Outbeat is coming up. Thanks so much to all of you here. Thanks to Bob Kennard for being available for that interview. And thanks to you for tuning in. We will be doing more shows here on Mouthful about one of the great things about Sonoma County, which is our wonderful farmers market, including our signature market, Santa Rosa Original Certified Market, and all of the ones that sprung up because of its vision. Thanks. I'll see you back here next week for another yummy episode of Mouthful, the Wine Country's Most Delicious Hour.
Mouthful is produced by Michelle Anna Jordan. It's engineered by Lawrence Alberti and Eric Black. For more information about Mouthful, email to catsmilk@sonic.net. That's catsmilk@sonic.net. You can also go to krcb.org and download podcasts of Mouthful, as well as from iTunes. And the moral of this story.
Our children, it is plain but true. God knows if a preacher preaches long enough, even he'll get hungry too. And he'll sing, to the Lord they